But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Ba, 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 ba.
Save his life,
call his wife, and 404 McMonagle here with you on the fan. One more hour left of our 5-hour midnight ride. We were able to mix in some baseball. We can still take your baseball calls. 888-808-1019. Luis Arraez, a possibility. The Yankees are out there trying to get another infielder, which is to me the most important thing because I can't stand to look at DJ LeMahieu playing third base. Mets. Still waiting on Pete Alonso. I think they're going to wait forever because I have a feeling Pete Alonso is going to sign somewhere else. I think the Mets don't want him. Spent a little bit on that as well, but we spent a lot of time on the football as we're still, you know, recovering from what was just a horrendous season from both of our football teams. Spent a lot of time yesterday on John Mara, my disappointment in how he handled the press conference, even though I believe that ultimately they did the right thing in keeping keeping Shane and Dable, and we'll see if we're right. We'll see if what they do with that third pick, see if they're able to get the quarterback they desperately need in the building. But we started with the Jets and their coaching carousel as, you know, the myriad of names that this, you know, prospective group is going to look at over the next God knows how long. And that's what I find it funny. I saw Fliegelman tweeted too, like, do you really need to hire someone to help you with the coaching search, and then they provide you with a list of everybody who's going to interview for these jobs? Like, yeah, okay, everybody. All right, yeah, bring in everybody. Like, oh, excuse me, yes. Can you do me a favor? Yeah, thanks. Can you bring in everyone? I want to talk to everybody.
I'll have one of everything, please.
One of everything. And yesterday they spoke to Rex Ryan, which I don't think is an absolute disaster. I heard BT and Sal. I don't think it's a joke. I don't think it's a disaster because I'm not looking for the future coach of the New York Jets. I'm not. I'm looking for a stabilizing force. I don't view the Jets as I do many other franchises. This team needs to win next year. They need to find a way to win. They need to stop this playoff drought. And I believe they have a roster to do it. I still believe in Aaron Rodgers on some level. I don't think he's the MVP anymore. I don't think this roster is as good as I did last year when I put it in the AFC Championship game or the Super Bowl. But I still think when you look at this team and how he played last year, 28 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, threw for almost 4,000 yards. If you get a real coach in here, and hell, I think if they kept Robert Saleh, they win more games and are in the hunt. They're in the hunt portion of the playoff screen on Fox and CBS if they don't fire Robert Saleh. I think if you bring in legitimate coaching with this team, keep Adams, keep Wilson, keep Rodgers, make that work, get some confidence into Breece Hall, bring in a coach that's had success in the NFL, a coach that has had a winning tradition in the NFL, and a coach that necessarily doesn't have to be the coach for the next decade, because I look at some of the options here, and Brian Flores is certainly a good candidate. And for me, Mike Vrabel would be number one. I just don't see that as a plausible possibility anymore. I would think he's much more likely to go to both New England and or Vegas Raiders. And I think the Jets got, you know, I think he handled business extremely well. I mean, I don't think it's a coincidence that he has his meeting with the Jets, one of the first teams he has a meeting with, put it out there that he would be open to going to the Jets, and boom, Mayo out. Antonio Pierce out. Connections to New England, obviously, from Vrabel. Connections to Tom Brady out in Vegas for Vrabel. So that would be my number one. But barring that, none of the names really impress me. None of the names really get me too excited. And for me, they were talking about a little bit on the afternoon show as well. Like, I would want to bring in someone, bring back Rodgers, stabilize this team, and try and win next year. And for me, I think Pete Carroll is a name who's now going to interview for the Bears position. I think Pete Carroll's as good an option as any. And Rex Ryan, I would think, falls into that same category of short-term, you know, trying to have him motivate this team, give him the rah-rah Jets stuff and talk about how he was successful 15 years ago. I mean, I don't think that's the way I would go. But when I look at all the other candidates, I don't see anybody that blows me away. And I'm definitely looking to run it back, and I'm looking for, you know, someone who is going to come in here and get this particular roster to play well and stabilize this franchise. And I've been thinking about it. I was thinking about it the last couple of days. And then today when I read the story about Pete Carroll getting back in the mix and interviewing for a job, I think Pete Carroll is as good an option as the Jets have. 888-808-1019. Oh, I love that Brett's on hold. That means he heard the Good Morning song, which I know he loves so much. So that made me smile a little bit. So Brett in Long Island is on the phone. What's up, Brett?
Long time no speak. I figured you were too scared to take my call again.
Why would I be scared to take your call?
I don't know. I called yesterday.
Did you call yesterday? When did you call yesterday? You can't call at 53 and I was doing something. Instead of going to calls yesterday, I had a segment I did at 53. Sorry I missed you, Brett. I ain't afraid of you.
I have so many things to check you on.
Sure you do.
For starters, scream from the mountaintops for a quarterback.
Yes.
You get the third pick. The third pick's fine. Even if the two guys aren't there, it's the third pick.
Yes.
You say you got the quarterback whisperer, but yet you say, I guess you got to take Hunter. I hear
if
that.
You can't get the quarterback.
How did Hyatt Neighbors work? How did that work? Really? You're going to take that statement back, right? I'm not allowing that one.
Okay. The first thing I said is trade up. I've been saying it all morning, been saying it since they got the third pick. Yep. Find a way to get the quarterback. I'm on board with trading up to get him. That's what I've been saying.
But you acted like if you can't get those two, it's like you're locked into those two. Don't know. We've discussed this. Who knows? So you're going to pass on like a Jackson guy, like somebody else? None of us know, Chris. So
I agree.
Just take that one back. Hunter's not able. And here's the thing. For the last couple of years, I hear you screaming about the quarterback like excuses. I look at teams like the Steelers, right? Like, they really haven't had great quarterbacks. Russell Wilson, he's on
and
the
they're going to lose next week.
And yet, here they are. And that's like, but here they are again.
Is it fine? Not going to win.
They've
got a great head coach, and they have a winning culture. I totally agree. And that winning culture consistently gets them out in the first round because they don't have a quarterback.
And then you look at the Panthers, the Jaguars, the Giants. Think of those three teams. Mm-hmm. They're just terrible.
The Panthers had a great second half of the season, and it seems like they could be a dangerous team next year. I think they can win that division.
But they got a lot of work to do. My point is the quarterback's not saving them right now. They got to build.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is with the Panthers, they had Donald. They weren't doing anything. You keep saying about the Giants. You're like Shane and Dable and Mara. Like, you're giving excuses and giving passes. How was the defense? How was the defense this year?
Terrible.
How was the team?
Terrible.
Chris, do you watch teams like the Rams? Mm-hmm. Do you watch teams like the Lions? Picture in your head. I'm watching the offensive play caller. I don't care who they have as players. I don't know where ball is going. I put the Giants on, and I watched Dable, who had to take the play calling away, give it back, take it, and I predict the plays. I tell my wife, they're running the ball. Watch, here. They're passing a screen.
I know, you're brilliant.
He's so predictable, Chris.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
does not know how to play call.
He did pretty damn well in Buffalo.
Buffalo's doing pretty damn well without.
Yeah, so not immediately. Not Ken Dorsey. Dable. Not Ken Dorsey. He wasn't. Yeah, they got.
How's Josh Allen doing without Dable? He's way better now.
Well, he's progressed to get better.
Whisperer is done.
No, it's not done. The first 3 years of his maturation process are extremely important, and he was there for it. Yes, he's continued to get better. It doesn't mean that those first 3 years of Brian Daboll weren't significant.
Josh Allen's an anomaly. If he's a quarterback,
so any quarterback who's good is an anomaly. Anyone
Daniel
who's actually
Jones
successful,
better.
No coach has ever
make
helped him.
Daniel Jones better, and then
he did
anomaly.
Make Daniel Jones better for 1 year, and he could only do so much. Then Daniel Jones got hurt. Daniel Jones got hurt and regressed. Yeah, he hurt and he got hurt and regressed.
Quarterback whisperer.
He stinks. So here's the good quarterbacks. So when I say Daniel Jones, he got Daniel Jones to the playoffs, won a road playoff game with Daniel Jones, turned him in from the most turned over quarterback in the NFL to one of, if not the least turned over quarterbacks in the NFL. But he gets no credit for that. He only gets credit for the regression after another devastating knee injury, after just being Daniel Jones. But the great quarterback, well, that's an anomaly. He had nothing to do with it. Okay.
Right. I'm saying you're going to impress me more if you take a quarterback that needs a ton of work. Right, you said,
well,
oh,
that's what I
want
to
say.
Josh Allen needed a ton of work. Don't you get it, Brent?
He needed a ton of work. Saying, okay,
he was the ton of work draft pick.
It didn't work, Chris. Now I'm going to take the play call on it. But what other issues? And the last thing I'm going to say, you're saying about Shane and Daboll, like, I can't believe their posture. I can't believe the posture of bringing them back. Like, you want them to be phony?
Because
the Giants fan base isn't that stupid.
Confidence in the decision. Don't make the decision if you're not confident in it. You can't just go up there and say, well, then he shouldn't do it. Then he shouldn't do it. If he's not confident in these two guys, that's ridiculous. I don't want to pass for one more year. I think that's a mistake, Brett.
It makes them look bad if they turn the coach and GM over again.
It's going to make them look bad if they keep these two. You got Pat Leonard writing stories that the franchises fall into a never-before-seen devastating bottoming outs, where it was only 10 years ago that Tom Coughlin had to justify his job after two playoff years, and now these guys get to keep it. They look terrible now. If next year fails, they look worse than firing him today.
That's their last chance. It's your excuse. Oh, they need a quarterback. Oh, they need a quarterback. Yeah. That's been what you've been hanging on to.
Because it hasn't changed. It's not like they've had multiple. They've had terrible quarterback play. That's true.
And you really think the quarterback was turning this whole thing around?
If you were a Commanders fan, would you think Jaden Daniels was going to turn the whole thing around?
The whole team looks better, Chris.
Yeah, because the quarterback came in. You think it's
Daniels
Dan Quinn?
On the Giants. They'd win six games. He's good.
Totally disagree. If Jaden Daniels was a quarterback, I'm not wrong. If Washington, the Giants beat Washington on a regular basis.
They always do.
That's what I'm saying. So all of a sudden, the Washington Commanders were in a place that they could take the young quarterback to 12 wins. The roster was that good. But with the Giants, it would be 3 or 4. I don't understand anything you say, Brett.
You don't think the Commanders are better this year? The whole team.
Because the quarterback uplifted them. The quarterback changed the damn team. That's what I'm saying. Yes, if Daniel Jones was the quarterback of the Washington Commanders, they'd be in the same place the Giants are.
He's going to help those linebackers. We have the worst two linebackers. You're going to try to sell me on McFadden. O'Carrickey was okay.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to sell. Look around.
It changes. Yes, it changes the whole team.
I watch every football game.
You watch every one of them from start to finish?
They wow. Get the NFL package. They wow you, Chris. They wow you.
Who
some
wows
of these teams.
Me?
Who wows you on the Giants? Who's good?
The wide receiver, Malik
Dexter
Davis,
Lawrence.
Wows
That's
me.
It. All right, two guys.
Dexter Lawrence
That's
wows
it.
Me. Andrew Thomas, when healthy, wows me.
He's always not even healthy.
I'm just saying, he's a damn good player when he's healthy. Dexter Lawrence wows me. Malik Nabers wows me.
They changed the defensive coordinator. How'd that work?
They sabotaged
How'd that work?
No, it hasn't worked. You know why? Because none of it works if you don't have a quarterback. That's my point. None of that works without the quarterback.
That's silly. It's not silly.
It's not silly.
None of it works without the quarterback. The Broncos. Bo Nix was terrible the first
to
five
start the year, and then he played well.
Defense kept them in. Denver had a good defense.
Denver had a good defense.
They won games with their defense.
They did. They won the Jet game with their defense for sure. Yeah, I understand that. The Giants won games last year with their defense. This year was particularly bad.
You're going to make excuses for the whole team because of the quarterback.
I'm not making excuses for the whole team. They could have fired him. If you're going to keep him, show me that you did it for a reason other than I didn't want to fire them. And don't go out there and make it seem like if you're going to keep him, this is my point, Brett. If you're going to keep him, I don't want to keep Brian Daboll and Joe Shane and say you've got one more year for a good season. I don't think that's silly. I think that's pointless. If I'm going to keep Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, I'm going to say you got one more crack to fix it. That's how I feel about it. They were given a quarterback that was an ultimate failure. It was forced upon them. They still haven't had a chance to get the young quarterback. They were successful year one. This last draft was good. If you're going to give them a chance, if you're going to keep them, don't say it's one more year to have a winning season. It should be one more crack at the rebuild. That's what I honestly believe.
Because this whole thing has been based around one player, the quarterback, Daniel Jones. Okay,
they all are. All the teams are.
Mm-hmm. That's the excuse. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, it's not. Teams build all around. They build. The Steelers, the Steelers are winning.
They're not. Are they really winning, though? Are they really winning? They won a couple of games. They're going to go to the playoffs. They're going to get blown out. They're 9-point underdogs in the playoffs.
Half their team this year. The Dallas Cowboys are missing half their team this year with a backup quarterback that, yes, they added.
And the season's
over. And
they're
able to go almost 500.
Last year the Giants won games. The last year the Giants did it for you, pal. They did everything you wanted them to do. They went out and beat a playoff team in Green Bay. They went out and beat Bill Belichick. They beat the Eagles the last game of the year. They won all those great, wonderful, big-time games that you love so much at the end of losing seasons. Like, and it still didn't do a damn thing for you, Brett. Like, come on. And quit asking me questions when I'm yelling at you, because I can't hear them. Yes, the quarterback's important, Brett. Quarterback is important. I don't know what else to say. Do you think Washington was in a state to suddenly turn around to win 12 wins? Do you think that's it? Like, do you think the Giants are that far off from the Washington Commanders? Really? You think the Giants are so much worse off than the Washington Commanders were this time last year? Because I don't. I think they have a left tackle. They're going to have money to spend on the on offensive linemen. They're going to have, they have a stud D tackle. They've got a all-world young stud number one wide receiver. I mean, you could argue they're going to have better weapons in the pass game. They got a new young running back they drafted in the fifth round in Tracy. Like, they're in position to give the young quarterback some help. They are. And a coach who hopefully, I agree, Brett, I don't know. None of this is certain. Maybe Brian Daboll isn't the quarterback whisperer and he's going to fall flat on his face, maybe. Likely even. But I want to see if he actually developed the young quarterback. If what he did with Josh Allen was real. If what he was able to do year one with Daniel Jones. If he was able to turn Tommy DeVito from a quarterback who wasn't allowed to throw the football against the Jets to a quarterback who went out in prime time and beat Green Bay. I want to see if he's good with quarterbacks. Let's see. Because I'm telling you right now. You've got Malik Nabers, Wandell Robinson, Tay Johnson might be a legitimately good tight end. They've got an offensive line that at least starts with a left tackle, and I think Illuminaire is pretty good. And they got Runyon. Go out there and spend a little bit of money and get the offensive line to be better. You got Tracy running the football. The defense needs improvement. They got some young defensive backs in the draft last year. They've got a stud D tackle to help stop the run. He gets after the quarterback better than anyone at his position in the NFL. And Dexter Lawrence. Like, there are pieces there where if they have the quarterback, like the coach told you when he won the stupid game against the Colts, this is what you could do with good quarterback play. Let's get some good quarterback play and just find out. What do you say? Just for craps and giggles. Let's just find out. Let's find out once and for all, Brett, who's right, me or you? Patrick in Jersey City. What's up, Pat?
Chris, what am I? I'm not prepared to follow up, Brett.
Well, you got no choice.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, listen, the light goes on and you got to do it.
Chris, I also say I can't believe it's not butter all the time, so I appreciate
it. There you go. No problem.
Thank you. I just wanted to...
I miss those commercials. There's like a handful of like old-time commercials that for whatever reason, like I have the weird kind of brain that I think about them every... Like for whatever... Like the other day I was thinking about the York Peppermint Patty commercials. Do you remember those commercials?
Yeah, you get the sensation,
sure. Yeah, like, I like you're going down the slopes. Or I often talk about like the old gravy commercial where's the lumps? Do you remember that one? Like it was like an old couple.
No, I don't remember
where's
like, the
lumps. Like it was like a canned gravy commercial. And it was like an old couple, and this old woman is like, gravy isn't supposed to be in a can. Gravy is supposed to be blah, blah, blah. And then the husband's like, yeah, if that's real gravy, where's the lumps? And then the wife like turns at him and looks at him like, you idiot. And the guy looked like John Minko. So I think about those commercials a lot. I don't know. I think of old commercials, and I can't believe it's not butter is one of them, too.
Yeah, that's one of the best it was.
Yep.
What do you call it? I was just going to agree with you about Rex.
Mm-hmm.
I have a picture of the guy hanging in my living room, and I don't even want him back.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's just because it's reminiscing. I mean, that's why you want him. That's why anyone would want him. Hey, he did it once before. No one's been able to do it since. Let's see if we can get the magic back. Like, it's just, it's not real.
I don't want to see him back, but you're not the only one to say it either. What is everybody's obsession with Brian Flores lately?
Yeah, I don't. Listen, and thank you for the call, Pat. I appreciate it. You did just fine following Brett. In fact, it was a welcomed relief. He was a good head coach in Miami. Actually, I think Marco said he put some sound. See if there's sound from Ryan Fitzpatrick in the system. Ryan Fitzpatrick was talking on his podcast he does with Whitworth, and he was talking about Flores at the end of his Dolphins tenure, that early on, given really no chance of success and a terrible roster, they got rid of all the good players. It was the tank for two a year. And he was able to, halfway through the year, become a really good head coach and get the best out of his players. And from that point on, it felt like he wanted to isolate himself. He burned a lot of bridges. He didn't work well with others or whatever. Like Ryan Fitzpatrick kind of talked about that he would really need to learn a lot. And he's been around good head coaching, right? He went to Pittsburgh with Mike Tomlin. Now he's in Minnesota with O'Connell. So, like, he's done a good job with this defense. We'll see. It's a really good job. They've won 14 games. In the biggest games of the year, they haven't performed, and we'll see what happens in the playoffs. But He's a very viable option as a head coach candidate. I don't think he's the best. I don't think he's someone that, you know, is clearly at the top of this list or anything. But I think he's towards the top when you look at some of the other names. But I want to hire an offensive mind. I think right now you're looking at hiring offensive coaching in the NFL. So Brian Flores wouldn't be my first pick. They could do a hell of a lot worse, though. But I think he's still got a lot to learn. And Ryan Fitzpatrick is someone who in this particular, like, he's not the greatest quarterback we've ever seen. He's had great seasons. He played forever, but he's played for a million teams. You know, he went to Harvard. He's a bright guy. He's been around a million different clubs and a million different coaches and a million different situations. And for him to kind of, you know, I think he's tried to backtrack it a little bit on social media and talk about, well, that's not the whole interview. And I said nice things too, whatever. But like he talked about how he kind of became a dictator with Miami. So, doesn't mean he can't learn or can't be a good head coach, because he was for a time in Miami, and he's a hell of a defensive coordinator. He disguises blitzes as well as anyone in the NFL. He's done a lot of good work. Wouldn't be my top choice. Brian in Port Jefferson. What's up, Brian?
Hey, G-Mac, yeah, but Flores, I don't know that guy's got the personality for the media in this market.
Yeah, I mean, I think that might be a tough fit for him as well here in the media, and especially if he's kind of, you know, standoffish, or at least that's how he was portrayed by Fitzpatrick in his podcast. So, like, if he's kind of that way, it's going to be tough to make it work here in New York.
Yeah, let the Jets hire him. He'll be there, Joe Judge.
I don't think he's that. I think you could always you can guarantee he'd be better than Joe Judge. I would feel very confident in that statement.
So
can't be much worse than Joe Judge.
Yeah, that's a very low bar. It's definitely a low bar.
Very low bar. Very low.
The Giants, you know, it'd be foolish for them to trade up out of three to try and take one of these two guys. Both of them are grading out lower than the first round quarterbacks from last season.
Yeah, I don't care.
So how do you? Yeah, but okay, so fine. You go ahead, trade up Shadur and the circus that comes with that. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, now you put the franchise back another 4 years. You got a cheap quarterback who can't play, can't handle the market, mm-hmm. who was graded lower than Bo Nix, right? You know, and now when you have that opportunity, either trade back, get some real capital. It's not sexy. It's not sexy. Unfortunately, do you really trust this regime to develop someone who grades out that much lower and pay them top dollar? Yes, it's a rookie contract,
yeah.
But you really think Cam Ward has? How many seasons has Cam Ward really produced at Miami?
I mean, how many seasons did Joe Burrow produce at college as well? How many years did Jaden Daniels
at the top at wide receiver university? He graded out at the top. Was at the top of the class,
mm-hmm.
at the top program in the country. Where's Miami? Mid-level.
No, I understand.
Right? Not saying that I'm not judging that, you know, that he doesn't perform against the competition, but in this position, in this situation, I would rather think, if I was Daboll, I'd rather say, give me the second or third round sleeper. Give me a Kirk Cousins. Give me a Jimmy Garoppolo for a season. Let me get a guy cheaper. Build up a real guy. Let me show you that I really am a quarterback developer, whisperer, if you will. Give me Ashton Jonte at number three, replacing Saquon. Let's get some leadership in the locker room. You know, Tracy's nice, right? Okay,
you are not. You're drafting a running back at three.
Trade it back.
Trade back to three. Yeah, no. I'm not drafting.
No, trade out of three.
Trade out of three. Yeah, and I get you.
Or take the running back. But again,
That's what I find funny, though, because like it's like, you know, Giant fans at the same time, you really trust this regime to, you know, take the right draft pick at three, but no, so why don't I give him more draft picks to mess up? Like, you know, if you think he can't draft the third pick, what makes you think he can draft all the draft picks you're going to acquire? If he can't hit with a top pick, what makes you think he's going to hit with all the second and thirds you acquire by moving down? And yeah, I want to see. Listen, it comes down to it. I don't give a damn how Sanders or Ward are graded. I don't care. We have seen quarterbacks graded poorly who have been uber successful. We have seen quarterbacks graded high who have fallen flat on their face. All that matters, and this is why I want more confidence from the owner in the two men that he chose to bring back, because he's going to allow them to make a decision that will shape the franchise for a couple of years to come. Like, that's why. I want to hear that he believes in what he's doing and that he believes in his decision making. Because they're about to make an important pick, and so I don't care about what other people say. I don't care. All I care about is what Shane and Dable believe, because they're the ones making the decision. If Shane and Dable, and specifically Brian Dable, believes that Ward or Sanders are a franchise quarterback, then you trade up to get them. Plain and simple. It's what they believe. It doesn't matter what I believe, what anyone else believes. If they believe it, they have to go do it. They have to go do it. Because, again, you can draft a running back. I'm lucky I had you on the phone that long. It's probably, you know, if you would have led with that, it would have been the end of our conversation. Because I'm not drafting a running back. I got Tracy in the fifth round. I'm more than happy. But if you want to, you know, draft you need a linebacker, you need offensive lineman, you need this. Again, wide receiver, running back, whatever you want to draft. The New York Giants have one, and it didn't help them. Like, it's not even so much like, you know, the quarterback position, oh, it's a crapshoot. You have no idea. I mean, so many of these top picks fail and blah, blah, blah. Okay, it's true. But when you're here, the juice is worth the squeeze, man. They hit on Saquon Barkley. He's one of the great talents in the league. Didn't help them win. Andrew Thomas is one of the best left tackles in the sport. Hasn't even helped the offensive line, let alone winning. Dexter Lawrence, arguably, you know, now that Donald left, one of the top pass rushing D tackles and one of the better D tackles in the sport. Losing team year in and year out. Malik Nabers, stud, 108 receptions, breaking rookie records. 3 wins. Like, you can hit on these guys, and it doesn't impact your team. You hit on the quarterback, it changes your franchise. And again, to my point with Brett, tell me Washington was in some sort of better standing than the New York Giants are right now. Honestly. They brought in a coach in Dan Quinn. Again, Dan Quinn is some sort of great coach who changed the team. Jaden Daniels changed the freaking team. That's what changed the team. Jaden Daniels going up and down the field to beat Philadelphia, to beat Atlanta, to win big-time games, win 12 games, and find themselves back in the playoffs after 1 year. You want to tell me the Houston Texans were in some sort of better standing than the New York Giants are right now when Lovie Smith won that game at the end of the year? That roster was in some sort of better place than this Giant roster is? Where they were easy to turn around, that it's not Stroud who's even having a subpar second year. You're saying Stroud, it didn't matter? They could have drafted anybody. It's about the team. The team did it. D'Amico Ryans changed the team that much? I want to get the quarterback position right. I want to have the young, inexpensive quarterback for the next couple of years, spend the money elsewhere, and go about building the franchise. That's what I want. Now, if they don't believe in the quarterback, don't trade up for him. But they've been to Colorado a lot. Deion Sanders is on the record in a podcast saying if the Giants have the number one pick, they ain't trading it. Now, having the number one pick and having to move up for it aren't the same thing, but if you believe in them, go do it. And that's not going against what Joe Shane said about not having a Hail Mary and not doing something against, you know, just to have self-preservation. Like, that's what any franchise should do. Any franchise in the position the New York Giants are in, with a third pick and in desperate need of a quarterback, if they believe in one, need to move heaven and earth to get him. That's what any franchise should do. Whatever standing the GM and coach are in, whatever, you know, side of the ball the coach's expertise in, whatever gone on, you don't have a quarterback, you're drafting third, you believe in one, go get him if you can. Plain and simple. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Come back and take your phone calls till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. We'll be right back. All right, 441, McMonagle here with you. Let's get right to the calls because I spoke for a while there, and we got another break before the top. I'm going to get as many in. My voice hurts after yelling at Brett. Got to do what you got to do, though. Part of the job. Occupational hazard. Brett in Long Island. Let's go to Omar in Brooklyn. What's up, Omar? How are you, man?
How are you, Chris? Yep. Two small things before I talk about my mic. I try to call whoever I have a reference, I try to call the people, but they're not answering. But Al Deuce came in here yesterday on a 5 o'clock show and talk about taking a strap off. When you have done 120 games together to show up every game, and do the thing, and the team wants you to rep, and somebody has a desire to keep it continuation, what he wants him to play the whole quarter. Well, Brett Favre, everybody called him Macho Man. He did the same thing, and came out after 12 minutes in the first quarter to make his league. So everybody give examples of Brett Favre. He came out in the first quarter, too, to make his league. So I don't think it was a big shot, and he said, I'm a game against him because of this. That is a pathetic statement. That is a because he's an MVP and he is the reason that you have a chance to rest your people so he can play in the playoff. Hey. The main major desire of your team is to win a Super Bowl, not to show the fans that I want to play for you guys because that game doesn't matter to Buffalo Bills fans, to not to the team. So it was a better concern just to get a snap and get into there. So I get over with that. Secondly,
you told him.
Secondly, on the McDermott thing, that incident that he talks about the planes was in 2019 in 12 people conversation when he was trying to motivate the people. And after that, he apologized to the same people in that thing. And that incident, that reemerges came in because last year they were struggling and they want to fire him. And that that topic came in. And now Eben and everybody is repeating it because Jets are pathetic. Jets are out of the playoffs. They are pathetic. They are so much desperate to talk about a negativity of Buffalo Bills because they cannot have it. He's the MVP. He's the main quarterback. And you guys don't have it. So you can come in a radio station and talk garbage about it. Right? That's it. That's what you're... Now come to my New York Knicks.
Okay, wait. Can I just ask you one question because you're so gung-ho on Josh Allen?
What is it?
How important do you think Brian Daboll was into his development?
He's the important part of it, but I think the main important part after what Joe Brady has done.
Joe Brady is more important.
I think Joe Brady is more important, but okay. The second, I will give Debo a credit too, but I will give everybody deserves the credit. If Debo has something to do with it, there was no credit for Debo. Debo was.
Can you just say, hey, Brett, Brian Daboll had something to do with it? If you could just say that for me, that'd be great.
Hey, Brett. Yes, Debo has something to do with
it.
Right, yes, he's talented and hardworking, but he has something to do with it.
Okay, now your Nick point. Go ahead.
Okay, my Nick point is that my two sons, the elder sons, are in college, right? So they watch a lot of Knicks. And I'm tired of having an argument with them. Thibodeau is there for 4 years. They tell me on every possession, why does he go, your defensive players go under the screen? I said in the Christmas Day game, the guy was going and running through the screen. Shamet runs through the screen. Mm-hmm. He said, but look at that 5 years. That's his scheme. So I try to defend Thibodeau. And the same thing, if Brunson is a calf, everybody knows when you are playing back-to-back, back-to-back, and the injuries, the most concern that you are going to injure is when you are playing back-to-back and you are tired. And you can see Anunoby, all the players were tired enough. Even the commentator was saying it. Everybody was saying it, that they're tired. But he's going to play them 40 minutes, and then Carl Anthony Towns is making $66 million, is going to get injured. So, man, how should I defend my guy? And we are looking at it that he doesn't want to change. What should I do? When Minnesota fan base is telling his coach that DiVincenzo has to start in place of Conley in last 3 minutes, he has to play, they start playing him. But in here, the fans talk about it. Please, we have a rookie who can play. Please, players are in the bench. Play them minute and don't play. They start us for 40, 45 minutes. But he doesn't want to listen. Nobody listen. People doesn't want to listen. What should we do? That everybody can see it.
I don't know. I are you sure no one listens? I heard you loud and clear. Omar, you got to relax, man. But we know. I agree with you. The minutes have been an issue for the Knicks, and I also agree they look tired defensively. They look tired, and whenever they're shooting, you know, a team that's been hitting their threes all year over the last three games, and particularly this last one, they were 18% from behind the arc. Defense and three-point shooting is where you're going to see the legs come in. And I definitely think I gave you the stat. Ian Begley gave me the other tweeted out the other day that last year Brunson led the team in minutes and he was 14th in the NBA. And currently the Knicks have three players in the top seven. So last year their most played player was the 14th most played player in the NBA. And now they have three guys in the top seven. Now it's early in the season. They've had some injuries to their bench, but it's probably something that's going to have to change at least slightly. And how do you defend him? I don't know. And I'm glad your kids don't have Optimum so they can watch the game. Can we get the Knicks back? 888-808-1019. Quick break. We'll come right back. Maury, hang with me, buddy. We got a break. Tonight is your night, bro. 888-808-1019. Be right back. Oh, it goes by so fast, those 5 hours. 888-808-1019. A few minutes left until we get to the warm-up show. Let's get to the calls real quick. Maury in Belmore. What's up, Maury?
Tonight is your night, bro.
Tonight is your night, bro. What's going on?
So we got the D-bag who already called in. I haven't heard from Brett in a while.
It's been a while. So I went through had a good 2 weeks without Brett in my life. Yep.
You need a throat lozenge now.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, after that 5 hour ride. So hopefully you'll take one on the ride back. That's number one. Then I agree with Omar. I think the coach has not learned this lesson because we had 5 injured players at the end of those playoffs and we were running on fumes. So maybe he needs to look back at that situation and start to, you know, figure out a way to start introducing. We're also missing a 3-pointer. We need some desperate 3-point shooting from somewhere out there. Mm-hmm. So we got to make a trade. And then last but not least, you got to take Hunter and figure out a way, if we don't get those quarterbacks, to get one of the other ones that you could work with, like you said. Hunter's the best pick. I think you could also get Hunter and have somebody want to trade up for Hunter. So I think we're in a good position. I think these two guys are still on the hot seat, as much as it doesn't sound that way.
No, I mean, I think it does sound that way. It does sound that way. It sounds like they're on the hot seat.
I like that he did. But it's almost two-faced. You're giving them another chance, but you're also kind of throwing it in their faces. So I kind of don't like the approach. I think
I hated the approach.
And yeah. All I could say is, Christopher,
yes,
it's fantastic to hear on your 5 hour ride, my friend.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Fantastic.
I appreciate it. Oh, thank you, buddy. Yeah, I viewed it. Listen, if they draft the quarterback, ain't no way they're on the hot seat. I'm sorry. It just doesn't make sense. Now, I mean, if it's just an out and out disaster and the quarterback can't complete a pass and they, you know, they win 2 games and it's just, yeah, you know, of course. You know, you never know. But John Mara took away, you know, he blames himself. When he hired these 2 guys, you know, the first time, it wasn't a rehire, but you know what I'm saying? When the first press conference he had about these 2, when he brought them in, he talked about ruining Daniel Jones. He talked about changing coaches and offensive coordinators and not giving him an offensive line and all that. But, like, if they draft a young quarterback and the quarterback plays well and they win 5 or 6 games, he's not going to fire him. If they lose because the defense still struggles or, you know, the quarterback makes bad mistakes or, you know, I don't know, the key injuries, whatever the case may be, if there is proof that the quarterback is developing and looks like he can be the guy, like Drake May right now with New England, right? Maybe they play a veteran, it goes poorly with him, they bring in the young quarterback, he plays well down the stretch a little bit, wins a few games, but ultimately they win 5, 6 games, and it's, you know, still, you know, not a lot of wins, but you know he's the guy, they would be foolish to fire the coach and GM at that point. But if they don't, if they bring in a veteran quarterback and they don't win games, then maybe, but to me, I would have hired them, or I would have brought them back under the guise of, like, it feels like, here's one more chance to have a winning season, so I don't have to fire you. Like, that's what it feels like. It feels like, here you go. I really don't want to do this right now. I'm tired of firing and hiring. I'm going to give you a chance. I'm going to give you one more year. I believe in this last draft class. You tell me we can get a quarterback and play better. I'm sure that's what they told them on Friday, whatever meeting they said. We'll get a quarterback and play better. We have Malik Nabers. We have a passing offense. You saw it against the Colts. We can make it work. I need a quarterback, blah, blah, blah. All right. I'll give you one more year, one more chance to give me a winning season. When I would view it, and I know this is difficult, but I thought you either fire him or you say, I'm going to give you one more chance to rebuild it. I think it's either fire them or give them a mulligan on the rebuild because you forced the quarterback who couldn't play and couldn't stay healthy on them. And if that's too much, if that's making too many excuses, as Brett says it, then fire him. But don't keep him around and then, you know, talk about, well, I better be in a better mood and it better turn around quick. I'm losing patience. And all right, well, then what'd you keep him for? And especially if you need the quarterback. It'd be one thing if they were, you know, playing with a quarterback. If they had somewhat of a veteran quarterback or, you know, a quarterback they knew was going to be the guy and it was this ugly and they're like, hey, look, a myriad of things went wrong. We'll give him one more year. They're going to... It's kind of in the middle of a rebuild. It's an awkward time for the New York Giants, and it sucks to be a fan, that's for sure. But that's over now, at least for this year. That's it for me. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you for listening. Jack on the other side. The warm-up show is coming your way. We'll be back 2 a.m. tomorrow morning. Continue to take your phone calls on our lousy football teams, but we will try and get in a little more baseball. We can talk more about our lousy hockey team as well. And hopefully the basketball team can figure out the minutes. But we'll get it all done. We'll get you back at 2 a.m. tomorrow. Everybody have a great Wednesday. I'll see you then. The warm-up show is next. I'm out of here. Bye-bye. Sports Radio 101.